Today's class has been dedicated Le'ilun Nishmat Violet Gilsom Bat Sofi by her son, Mr. David Hanono, our good friend from Panama. May he live and be well, as well as the entire family. May today's Devre Torah be Le'ilun Nishmata Violet Gilsom Bat Sofi Ruach Hashem Tenihena Began Eden. Amen.
Word on the Perashah that we're learning over here is Parashat Shofetim. This is the Parashah of the judges. Shofetim v'shoterim v'tet necha v'chot she'arecha. Lo tatem mishpat. We're not allowed to sway judgment. Lo takir panim. We're not allowed to show favoritism. Ve'lo tikach shohat. We're not allowed to take shohat. Afidu l'shpot tzedek. Rashi says, even if you're taking the shohat to judge righteously, what does it mean, afidu l'shpot tzedek? Well, we know already that we have to judge righteously. It said, lo tateh mishpat means you can't tilt the judgment. So obviously, lo tikach shohad, to tilt the judgment, we know you can't tilt the judgment already. What pam? It says, velo tateh mishpat. What does lo tateh mishpat mean? You cannot tilt the judgment. You have to be straight. So what does velo tikach shohad mean? Don't accept shohad, but to tilt the judgment, you just told me don't tilt the judgment. So Rashi has to come along and say,
but even if you judge correct, don't take
that. That's what Rashi says, Hazak. Rashi comes along and says that. Not the temishpat, don't sway the judgment. And don't say a correct judgment with bribe. Even though you say the correct. That's why Rashi has to go out of his way to say that. Some judge will tell, listen, I'm going to judge it like it is, but you have to give me something. But there's another interpretation. There was one time, there was a judge, a Jewish judge, but he's Hiloni. Hiloni guy doesn't like the religious. The case is a Hiloni against a Hasid. The Hasid comes into the court, a beard down to the floor, he has a barneta, he has a long coat. The Hiloni comes in, nice slick shirt, you know, nice pants, clean shaven. Right away, the judge looks at the Hiloni guy, smiles at him. How much did this Hasid steal from you, I can imagine? What did this Hasid swindle you already? Already the judge is predisposed that the Hasid is guilty. So, before the court, the Hasid says, can I come to the bench? The judge says, we didn't even start the case yet. What do you have to say? Comes to the bench, he takes out a brown paper bag and he puts it on the table. The judge says, what is this? Lunch? I brought lunch. I have lunch already. But no, this is dessert. He opens the bag, whole stack of $100 bills. The judge says, you Hasidim, you religious people, you don't even follow your Bible. The Torah says, "Lo tikach shohad," means you cannot accept bribery, you cannot give bribery. What are you doing? He says, what's the reason why you can't give bribery? Because it causes the judge to be tilted. He said, you're already tilted. I'm trying to even it out. That's what Rashi means. Afilu l'shpot tzedek. Even if you're giving the bribery to make it even, it's still asur. In that case, he's trying to make it fair. Because he knows he has a disadvantage on the bribers to get justice. That she says, afidu l'shpot tzedek, You cannot.
Rabbi, in some country you need to bribe the judge to give judgment.
To give the ruling.
To give the, otherwise he will postpone. 100%.
To take the case.
If you
to take the case, 100%. Some countries, you don't have to get to court if you bribe the police. Ready? We'll never get to court.
Mexico.
If you didn't bribe the cop, it gets to court. You have to bribe the guy ready when he gives you the ticket, so it won't get to court. That's how it works. The Hakamim say, what is shohad? Why do they call it shohad? Shohad means a bribe. So they say shohad. Shehu had. Before Shohad, the judge sees two litigants in front of him. Once he gets bribed, Shehu had, he only sees one in front of him. He doesn't see the other guy. Shehu had. And then the pasuk says, Sedek, Sedek, Terdov. That you have to pursue justice. It's a great question. Mamash, sometimes you're able to pull these questions out that are so vague in the text. And you're able to find these nuances, Elliot. And Mamash, open our eyes. Most people would read this pasuk, Sedek, Sedek, Terdov, they would miss it. And right away you jumped on it. Wow, Sedek, Sedek, why does it say it? Why does it say it twice? You had the question yesterday. Okay, so it's an old question. Sedek, Sedek, Tendof. So really the Gemara Sanhedrin we learned a few weeks ago asked this question. And the Gemara learned some over here that when you go to court, you have to go to the best court that's available. If let's say you have, regular rabbis in the court, and you have Gedolei HaDor, the great rabbis of the generation, and they have a court as well. Don't choose the second court. Choose the first choice court. Tzedek, Tzedek means you have to choose the Tzedek of the Tzedek, the best of the best. Tzedek, Tzedek is coming to say that your justice that you pursue has to be the finest. That she comes along and says that. Tzedek, Tzedek, Terdof. Halach Ahar Bedin Yafeh. Halach Ahar Bedin Yafeh. From here we learn that you have to go after Bedin Yafeh. And if you remember, the Gemara came along and gave each rabbi and his city, he was he had the best court. Fine. In the previous years, we said different interpretations to Tzedek, Tzedek, Terdof. There's a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim says, "Ha'omer se'la'zu l'staka al menat shi'yihye b'ni." If a person comes along and says, this coin I'm giving to Sadaqa, in order that my son should live, Arezu Sadiq Gamur. The Gemara calls him Sadiq Gamur. Tosfot asks the obvious question. Sadiq Gamur, you're not supposed to do the mitzvot for reward. Here he's doing the mitzvah for a benefit. Why is he Sadiq Gamur? The Mishnah says, Al tiyu ka'avadim hamshamashim mitarav al menat kabel peras. He shouldn't do the reward for peras. And here the guy's saying, al menat yehyeh b'ni. So Tosafot answers that it's talking about over here where Bar Menan, the kid, didn't make it. And he didn't regret. He didn't say, I wasted my money, I gave all the tzedakah, and the kid died anyway. No, he said, Baruch Hashem, I gave the tzedakah. That's Sadiq Gamur. That he didn't He didn't regret or renege on his pledge. That's the way Tosafot explains it. We explained it in this Gemara in many ways. Ha'omer sel azul estaka amenat shi'yeh b'ni. One way we explained it was, why is he Sadiq Gamur? The best way to give tzedakah is to give it in a way where you don't embarrass the guy that you're giving it to. Anytime you do a mitzvah, it's like that. You're not supposed to embarrass the person that you're doing the mitzvah with. You know, there's a special beracha that you make when you see, you know, odd things. Acham Baruch Alav HaShalom said when he came, he was the rabbi in South Africa for a while. When he got there, he never saw an abid before. He was in Israel, there was no abid, there was no nothing. He got there the first time he saw an abid. So there's a beracha, Baruch Meshane HaBiriyot. It's a different look. Shulchan Aruch writes, Haro'eh Kushi, if a person sees a Kushi, he says, Omer Baruch Meshane HaBiriyot. We once said that there's a way to remember this halakha, Shulchan Aruch. The first black president that we had was called Obama. Aleph Bet Mem He Omer Baruch Meshane HaBeriyot. They have Meshe Tevot of that halakha. Impressed, Azuri? We didn't start yet. This is just warming up the engines on it. So anyway, you see over here. So anyway, there's a inyan when you see something strange, so you make a beracha. There's a Gemara that says there's a beracha on a midget. You see, so it's a strange thing to see. If you never went to the circus before, you never saw a midget, you see a small little guy. It's a strange item, it's a beracha. So one time there was a Hasid religious guy. He comes to a wedding, and he sees a midget over there. He can't believe it. What is a kut he has? He can make a beracha. He runs up to the guy, picks him up. Baruch atah. The guy says, what am I in a trog? Over here, put me down over there. The guy's making Moshe'anot on him over here. He embarrassed him. You want to make a beracha? Go make a beracha on the guy. Now he's making Nu'im on the guy. Oh, Shi'ana. So therefore, when you're doing a mitzvah, you're supposed to do it in a way where you don't embarrass the guy. One time, we give him money for Pesach every year. I'm skiing the guy's down and out. The guy every year he comes, we give him $200-$300 from the keren, cash for Pesach. But the guy doesn't get home from work till 11:30 at night, Hazi. He always comes to Mass 11:30 at night to pick up the money. You feel bad for the guy. He's working till then. So one time, I saw the guy in Landau. I was praying there at 11:15. He was going to probably come straight from Landau to my house. I said, I'll save the guy a trip. Now, what am I going to do to the other guy? So I thought, Yaakov, I don't believe you're here. Here's the money I owe you. Oh, he understood right away. I owed you how much? No, 300 you owed me. Okay, 300, we're even. Khalasna. Now that guy thinks he's Ashir. Look at that guy, Sadiq, he lent the rabbi $300. Kol hakavod. Now the rabbi paid him back. Kol hakavod. Which means, no, instead tell the guy, I saved you a trip. Here's the $300 for Pesach. Now the guy's EB. The guy turns 100 colors over here. And you embarrassed the guy that you gave him tzedakah. He said, I wish you didn't give me the money. I wish you didn't give me the money. But now you built the guy up. You made the guy feel like you're doing him a favor. Here's the money I owe you. Is it right? I owe you 300? 300, yes, take it. Yeah, I said, b'chokhmah, not to embarrass the guy. So we once explained, this Gemara is teaching you that item over there. And I have a proof that it's the right shot. The guy, he wants to give somebody money, an ani money. He has to figure out a way to get it to him without embarrassing him. So what does he do? He goes to the guy And he said, do me a favor. My son is in the hospital. He has a big operation. Do me a favor. I would do it, but I don't have the chance to do it. Usually I make a sa'uda and I'll make berachot in his zechud, but I have to go to the doctor. Do me a favor, take this money over here and go buy a big sa'uda and make berachot. And please, you do me a big favor. What's the boy's name? Abraham ben Abraham. Abraham ben Sarah. Okay, you got it. The guy goes, he tells his wife, listen, we have a big mitzvah to do. This guy's in trouble. Hazid, he told me to do him a favor. Oh, well, everybody come together. The big sa'uda, they're eating, they make berkat mazon, but kabanot, all that over there. Calls him back up. He says, you did the sa'uda? You did it. How's everything? Baruch Hashem. Ishtabach Hashem. I cannot thank you enough. You don't know. We just got a report. The doctor said, Baruch Hashem. Clean bilal. He says he never saw a miracle like this. He tells his wife, what a chesed we did to this guy. What a chesed. The guy said, because of al berachot, the clean bill of the health. Problem is, there's no son, and there's no doctor, and there's no nothing. He made up the whole story. They say, Hareze Sadiq Gamur. That's a Sadiq Gamur, that guy. Of course. He saved the guy from embarrassment. And I have a proof that it's right, because it says, Ha'omer Sel Azul Istaka. He's just saying it. It's not Emer. Ha'omer. That's what he says. It doesn't say Ha'noten Sedaka La'ani Almenachi. He's not Noten. Ha'omer. That's his alibi. That's what he's claiming. So the Ani feels like he's a big shot. He thinks he did the rich man a favor. He says, wow, Baruch Hashem, don't take me. Anytime you have a problem, you come give me, I'll do Saudot for you. My pleasure. he goes, tells all his friends, he helped the rich guy. Meanwhile, there was no nothing. The whole thing was a fable. So that's Amenachi Yebeni. That is a Sadiq Gamur. Ashtem Maskil Eldal. Maskil Menashon Sechel. So now, the Hida, however, has a different interpretation. The Hida explains the Gemara like this. He says, it's true. It's true that you're not allowed to do mitzvot. Not allowed. You shouldn't do mitzvot for the reward. You should do them, you know, idealistically, for Hashem. Hashem Shamayim. However, he says, when you do a mitzvah that you're not commanded to do, which means you do what's called lifnim mishurat hadin. You do more than you're obligated to do, then already you're able to do it for reward. There's no problem. When the Mishnah says that you shouldn't serve God on minat, the kabil pras, that's when you're doing your obligation, which you're mandated. But if I'm doing something I wasn't obligated to do in the first place, then you can do it for the reward. I wasn't obligated to do it. So therefore, I want to do it for reward. I want to get the extra olam haba. He brings an ayat to this tachita. Gemara says a story in Gemara Berachot of a rabbi called the Bizera. So the Bizera was sitting in the Bet Midrash and he became tired. He's learning all day long. He became tired. So what did he do? He said, let me go and sit outside of the Bet Midrash. And when the rabbis come in and out, I'll stand up for them, ve'kabel egra, and I'll get reward. What is he doing? He can't learn. So he put his chair outside. Every time a rabbi walked by, he stands up for him. He gets a zechut. They say, batakum, batata penezaken. Another rabbi walks by, and he has the counter next to him. Every time a Sadiq walks by, boom, he ticks in. After an hour, he looks at the clicker, 87 mitzvot de'oraita. 87 for doing nothing. Just for every time you go like this, you get a mitzvah de'oraita. Mitzvah de'oraita is a serious item. But the problem with the Gemara is, he said, I'm going to do it be'kabel agra. I'm going to do it to get reward. The Haida says, what do you mean you're going to do it to get reward? What happened? How come Tosafot over there doesn't ask? The captain is Gemara over here with the sail as soon as the God, this one jumps. Hey, after you come at him. How come it doesn't ask? Oh, Hazak Baruch again. That's what he answers. He answers that there's no obligation to put yourself in a position to stand up in front of people. The obligation, if you're sitting already and a guy walks by you, Zekin, so you stand up. But I don't have an obligation to go put a chair in Porat Yosef in the old city, and every time a Hakam walks by to stand up, you're putting yourself in a position that you're not obligated. For that, you can even do it for the reward. So says Rav Hida, based on this, the Gemara, he says, is very, very clear. This Gemara is talking about over here, where he gave already a coin for tzedakah already. He fulfilled his obligation for tzedakah. This coin that he's giving over here already is the second coin. It's the second coin. How do we know it's the second coin? Because the guy says, "Ha'omer sel azu litzdaka." What is sel azu? Must be there was a different one.
He singled
this one out, but he singled that one. There's only one coin over it. Say sel litzdaka. No, sel azu litzdaka. The first selah that he gave the Shem Shamayim. The second selah that he gave, what? Already, then you can do it already, even for a kavanah. So says the Rav Hida, that's what the pasuk means over here. When the pasuk says, tzedek, tzedek terdof, which means, when a person comes along and doesn't give tzedakah, he learns tzedek is minashon tzedakah, he doesn't give tzedakah once, but he gives tzedakah twice, tzedek, tzedek, then the pasuk says, lema'an tihyeh. Then you could say leman tihye al menachi yahye beni leman tihye v'yarashta et ha'aris. Then you can already can do it even for olam haba, because it's the second sedek. If you do double sedek, then it can be even leman tihye. You can even put a condition al menachi yahye beni or v'yarashta et ha'aris or al menachi yeli olam haba, like the Gemara says. So that's the way that Hida understood the pasuk. We explain this also al pi amusar. The Gemara, as well as the Mekubalim, they all talk about the potential damages and danger that can come from excessive eating. Of course you have to eat. There's nothing to talk about. Eating is, obviously, Hashem wants us to eat. Otherwise he would have created us without an urge, an appetite. However, one has to be very careful that when he goes after the ma'achalim, and he goes after all the, appetizing pleasures, he can get drawn into trouble. As we know, the first sin in history was because somebody was drawn after food and something that he wasn't supposed to eat. So obviously it has to be a serious item. You see in the times of Hashverosh that there was a decree against all the Jewish people, Hashmid, Laharogu, Labed. Why? Shenehenu Mis'udato, because they went to the Sa'uda of Hashverosh. So you see, it's a serious thing when the people are not careful on what they eat. You have people that are not careful. They eat out, as they call it. They eat out. If you're not part of our community, you don't know what that term means. Eat out. You tell Ashkenaz guy, eat out. He thinks you're eating on your porch. He thinks you're eating on your back terrace. Eat out. Okay, it's nice under the sun, nice moonlight. But we know what it means. Eat out means you're eating out of the realm of kosher. That's what it means, but they don't want to say it. But they don't want to say it. They don't want to say it. They don't want to say it. Why don't they just say, I'm going to eat not kosher? Because that's too... So they figured out a way to sugarcoat it. Yeah, I'm going to eat out. Out means out of God's jurisdiction. That's what the out means over there. So it's a problem. But I'm not even talking about ma'achalot asurot. I'm talking about even ma'achalot that are permissible. One has to be careful. We're going to read in next week's parasha about the ben sorer u'moreh. That's a kid that was eating kosher food, kosher wine, kosher meat, but he got drawn after the gluttonous behavior, and before you know it, the guy's addicted to eating this good stuff. And before you know it, he's murdering people, and the Torah holds him accountable. So again, the Zohar Kadosh's language is Sha'at Achila, Sha'at Milhama. At the time of the eating is the time of the war, which means the greatest war that we have with the Yetzer Hara is the time of food. And one has to be very, very careful to... I'm not saying don't eat. Of course you have to eat, Rabotai, you have to eat three times a day. I'm not saying skip a meal even. But one has to... everything in measure. Harambam talked about it when it came to good health. that once you try to leave over a little on his plate, he explained it, the Rambam, is that there's a delay between the brain and the stomach for some reason. So therefore, it takes the brain 15 minutes to register if the stomach is full or not. So therefore, it's like the gas tank. You know, it takes a couple of seconds till the full thing goes to the end. So the same thing, it takes a little time for the brain to calculate when the stomach is on full. So Rambam says, don't eat to your fullness, because your stomach is really full. Just your brain doesn't know it yet. You don't feel it yet either. The brain hasn't read. So they will wait, and all of a sudden the brain will, you're on full, and therefore it stops. So it's always a stop short. Problem is, you don't stop short, now you're overfull. Now there's no topping. What does it say in the gas station?
No topping off.
No topping. What do they mean?
Don't overflow it.
There's no topping. Hazak baruch. So now, that's the yad of the achila. The Gemara says, until a person prays for Torah to go into his system, he has to pray that food will leave his system. Which seems that part of the success in Torah, like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, Pat Bamelach, the great Tzaddikim, they were limited themselves when it came to their, gastronomical delights. They were able to curb their desires to a certain degree. Again, we're not saying over here that a person has to go on fasts and also to punishing the body. One has to know that even when there's levels in machanot over there, not everything that's permissible necessarily one should indulge in. So they say, Ze eli ve'anvehu, elokei ve'ro v'menu. And they say, Ze eli. How does a person reach Ze eli, the high levels? The pasuk says, and we said this before, Berkat Hamazon, Vayedaber Elai, Ze ha'shulchan asher lefnei Adonai. That the shulchan, when a person is eating, the shulchan has to be lefnei Hashem. Not stop. When a person is sitting at a table, the shulchan is lefnei Hashem. So they say, Ze Eli, that's how you get close to Hashem. Ze Eli Hashem Tevot, Ze HaShulchan Hashem Lefnei Adonai. To come and teach you that the table of a person, it has to be on God. Not only the kashrut of the ma'achalim, but the intake of it. Today it's a gluttonous generation. Today the eating is
recreation.
Most of the, it becomes a national pastime. It's a sport. Even kosher eating. Today the biggest disease in America is obesity. Now they're starting to tone it down over there. But used to get these supersized burgers. You see the goyim, each guy's eating brontosaurus burgers and then Great Adventure. You see the guy's walking around like King Arthur. He has a thing in his hand over here. Where are you going with that thing? It's a club. How many people are going to eat that item? You see the guy has a little tuna fish sandwich. The Jewish guy's walking around with a big... leg of a dinosaur. He has in his hand. The guy's eating himself. That's the gluttony of America. Anyway, so the Achamim give a remez over here. They say, if you want to live not only healthy, if you want to live in Olam Haba, you have to break your desire. Break your desire. Break your table into two. Break the table into two. So you split the table. You know what I mean? Break that desire of achila. So they give it, even on Shabbat, of course you have to eat a little more on Shabbat. And there's never a heter for gluttony. That's the lesson. There's never a heter for gluttony. You have to break the ta'aba of the table. So if I'm not mistaken, do the gematria for me. How much is shulhan equal? Shin, lamed, hayat, nun.
388.
Beautiful. How much is sedek? Say the Tzadi Dalit Kof.
194?
No, 304. 404. Yeah. Tzedek, 388. Good. So Tzedek is Gematria Shulchan. So the Pasuk says, don't make Shulchan. Break the Shulchan in half. Tzedek, which means, and then what? Leman Tehyeh.
Then already you live. If you break the shulchan into tzedek, tzedek, split it in half. Split it in half. Don't overeat. Tzedek, tzedek. Instead of having one big giant shulchan where you have that, split it in half. Now it's not a table anymore. Now it's tzedek, tzedek. Now there's a tzedkut in your eating. Leman techiyeh. Not only healthily, but also spiritually. So you see, this pasuk over here has so many. You can go to tzedakah, you can go to a courtroom, and then you ended up in the kitchen. That means there's, huh? Let's hear it. Only Elliot, why do I call on you? Only because you're with us during the week. The guy who reads Hilchot Tefillin during the week, we give him the benefit to read us Perushim. If you don't come during the week, also I'm not going to give you to read. You read today. How many notes did you read to us this week, Baruch Hashem? Of course.
One should pursue righteousness only through righteousness. It's not righteousness, righteousness. It must be done through honest means. The Quran does not condone the pursuit of the holy answer in
poverty. It's not justify the means.
Elliot, that's my favorite one. Although I didn't come to say that one today, you did say my favorite one. But for the people that need a little more elaboration, I'll explain it to them. Bidiyuk, the doctor summarized it very good. In life, there's ends and there's means. Ends means the end, what the goal is, what the destination is. The means is how you get there. There are those that believe that as long as the end is good, it doesn't matter what you pursue to get there, just get there. For example, charity is good? Good. Therefore, go steal, just give charity. Therefore, you have people, they'll do all averot. Shabbat, rob money, cheat people, but they come along and say, look how much tzedakah I gave. So you come along to say, hold it. How are you justifying it? I justify by the end. When you were young, you read a book called Robin Hood. Robin Hood believed that also. What did Robin Hood do? He stole from the rich and gave to the poor. Now, of course, Robin Hood was an indoctrination into communism. The early communists wrote that book, Robin Hood. They wanted to indoctrinate the kids at young age that the rich people have too much money. And therefore, how do you have to settle it? You have to make a division of wealth. So therefore, you have to steal from the rich. But in the book doesn't call it stealing from the rich. You get the impression as if Robin Hood is a hero. You don't come out of the book saying, wow, the guy's a thief, he's a felon. You come out of the book saying that the guy's a sadiq. Because the rich guy has too much money anyway. And what is the poor guy doing hazit miskin? Therefore, they can settle it up. And the kids would read that when they were young, and all of a sudden they're believing in division of wealth, and that was to undo democracy. You have to be very careful. A lot of these books that the kids, when they're reading when they're young, there's subtle messages inside that they're planting in. That's why you only read the books of the Tanakh and the books of the Torah. These books have subliminal messages to them. Like I told you, Jack and the Beanstalk was written by anti-Semitics. Jack is Yaakov Abinu. The giant in that story is Esav. And what did Jack and the Beanstalk? He stole the beans. What's the beans over there? Give the beans. Is the Adashim. Is the Nezid Adashim. That's telling the story over there. Jack. Who's Jack? Have you ever a fairy tale with a guy named Jack? Anti-Semites. They wrote the story, Jack and the Beanstalk, to brainwash the children that Jack stole from the giant. He stole the blessings from the giant. And the kids are reading this over here, and then they're hating Jews when they grow up. Anyway, you see over here, One girl wakes up in the morning. If the mother reads the book, the mother puts the cereal on the table. I don't want this cereal. You spoiled brat. What do you mean you don't want the cereal over here? This is what you're eating. No, I don't want it. And the mother's going crazy. I don't want this kid over here. This kid, where do they learn these lessons from? The night before, what does the kid read? The mother? The mother reads the story of the three bears. No, this one's too hot. Take it away. This one's too cold. Now the kid, you're training the kid to be spoiled over here. Now you're wondering why the kid's complaining about it's cereal. This is too hot, this is too cold, this is just right. And you're teaching the kid, unless it's just right, don't take it. Then you're wondering, you poisoned the kid the night before. Anyway, that's a whole derash in itself. All the... yes, on parenting and all the books that the kids are reading. Anyway, my point was Robin Hood. Judaism does not believe in that. Judaism believes that the end has to be good, that's for sure.
But the way to reach the end has to be good as well. The means to get to the end. Which means, it's good to give tzedakah, but you have to make sure that the money that you acquired for the tzedakah was gained in legal ways. Bediyuk, the Torah says that a mitzvah ba'av avirah is not condoned. I once said a perush, I heard from Rav Chaim Weintraub many years ago, and we'd love to say it over. It's in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Again, I know this Pirkei Avot, and here there is. So it says in the Mishnah over here, he's getting comfortable. Listen to the Mishnah says, Ben Azai Omer, Everats lemitzvah kalaka bahamura. Listen to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Everats lemitzvah kala, run to the small mitzvah, kibahamura, like the big mitzvah. Don't measure mitzvot. You don't know the measure, you don't know the price. Do all the mitzvot. Uboreyach min ha'avira. But one thing's clear, run away from sins. Then the Mishnah says, you know why? Shemitzvah goreret mitzvah. Va'avira goreret avira. One mitzvah leads to another. And one avira leads to another. You can't just do one. They come in pairs. That's a simple interpretation. It's like the reading of the Mishnah. But listen to the way Rav Chaim Weintraub read the Mishnah. He read the Mishnah like this. Ben Azai Omer, Heberatz the mitzvah kalaka bahamura. Run to all the mitzvot. Kala, hamura. Now watch. He puts the comma in a different place. Uboreyach mina avira. Run away from the avera shemitzvah goreret. Run away from the avera shemitzvah goreret. That the mitzvah goreret, which means the avera that brings you to a mitzvah. It's a avera shemitzvah goreret. That avera brings you. Run away from that type of item. You know why? Mitzvah v'avera goreret avera. Because when you make a hybrid of mitzvah and avera, it's avera. The hybrid is forbidden. From one change of the dot, you see already the Mishnah is coming to tell you a lesson in life. So according to that interpretation, Eliot is correct when the pasuk says sedek sedek tirdof. One time I saw a guy, he came to Deal Synagogue early in the morning, Vatikin on a Sunday morning, and. You saw, he's not a Vatikin guy, this guy. But he was there, Vatikin. It looked like he was coming from somewhere. From somewhere that kept him up. Anyway, he walked in. He prayed Netzach Hamah. He has a right to pray. After he went to Rabbi Dweck, and he took out a big check out of his pocket. He said, I want to give it to the yeshiva, the dear yeshiva. Come on, that doesn't say anything. He writes a big fat check there, and he gives it to him. He says, I'll take the check, but this is not going to atone for last night. That you have to do a separate teshuvah. This is, which means the guy figured, well, I'll give tzedakah and it's a wash. But this doesn't clean this over. You did avera, you have to fix the avera. We'll take the money. What did the guy do? He took the check back. That's why I'm giving it. I'm giving it to whitewash. I'm not giving it to Musar. Give me the money back. Jump in the. For every one rabbi that won't give me the rabbi that'll give me kapara also. I'll find another guy. Anyway, he'll find another guy. Don't worry. He went next door to the next place. The guy rabbi took it. He says, you're exonerated. Tell us now. So that's the way we explain the pasuk, the way you said tzedek, tzedek, that means even your tzedek has to be pursued in tzedek. The road to tzedek has to be paved in tzedek. Tzedek, tzedek. It's not enough that the end is tzedek, the means have to be tzedek as well. That's what the third or fourth interpretation. But we said a different interpretation as well.
One more.
We said a different interpretation based on the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai said that there was once a young guy, bachelor, rich man, and he went to shul on Rosh Hashanah, and he's praying Rosh Hashanah with kavanot and all that, and he comes home from Rosh Hashanah, and he falls asleep, this dream, he sees he's in front of God, and God tells him, "Rosh Hashanah today, you can ask many wishes from me. Ask as you wish. I'll." He said, "The dream is very real." So he turns to the Borei and he says, "Yeah, Borei Olam, you created such a beautiful world, but the world is a world of sheker. It's a world of lies. It's a world of deceit. Why did you make this concept of deceit and sheker in the world? Please make it that the world should be a world of emet, at least by me. I don't want to be involved in this sheker. It's disgusting. It's terrible. People's lives are ruined." Borei Olam said, "Well, you're questioning the way I created the world. Fine. If you have any problems with it, we'll adjust it for you. Emet." Beautiful. He wakes up. He had a lady that used to be like a maid. And every morning, she used to bring the Nitzat Yadayim for him. In the morning, you know, to make the Yadayim in the bed. She was an older woman. He was a rich guy, this guy. And all of a sudden, the lady comes to him, wakes him up. He says, "Mode ani." She says, "Tzku l'shanim rabot, te'imot v'tovot, l'shana tova, umborechet." He looks at her, and he says, "How unlucky I have to look at your ugly face every morning. The first thing in the morning is, I open my eyes, I have to look at these wrinkles and the cracks, and then like the crater of the moon." You can't believe it. What is this guy crazy? He's thinking to himself, what did I just say to tell the lady? Even though he thinks that all the time when he went to the vase, but he never dared to say it. This time he tells it to her. She says, takes the water and throws it on his head. Now you have mikveh also. Now you went to the mikveh. You don't have to go to the mikveh today. I said, "Okay, what's going to be?" Now he goes to Kenis. After he finishes Kenis, he says, "You know something? His uncle was sick. He had an old uncle. Also is a rich guy." He says, "Bikur Halim, Anosh Hashanah. You didn't come to Kenis. I'll go visit him." He goes, his aunt says, "You came in? I came to see Uncle Jack." "Wow, kol hakavod, you didn't go up to eat yet?" "No, I came to see Uncle Jack." He sits with him. He says, "Uncle, how are you feeling?" He says, "Oh, I'm not feeling well." He says, "I must tell you the honest truth. I wait for the day you die so I can inherit all your money." "What?" He said, "Yeah, you don't have any children." He said, "I'm the closest relative. All that's millions of dollars in my mind. This is what I want from you."
"You already spent it."
The aunt hears this over here and says, "You're the Shah. You came on a Shanah to bother your uncle over. He's not sick enough now." The guy walks out and says, "What am I crazy? What am I telling this for?" Anyway, now he goes to he was going out with a girl. And he goes out with a girl. They were dating. In the afternoon, they're walking in Rosh Hashanah together. So he tells her, "You know, when we were dating, I told you that I'm 28 years old and you're 26 years old. But, you know, I'm really 46 years old." Just 46 years old. 28 to 26, 2 years is normal. Now you're telling me you're 25 years older than me? Finish, I'm out. He goes to the shatkan. "What are you fool? What did you tell her that for? She thought you're 20. She'll never figure it out. You look like a young guy. What did you have to..." I don't know. All of a sudden, he realizes what's going on over here. He turns to Borei Olam and he tells the Borei Olam, "Borei Olam, what are you doing to me over today? You killed me." He said, "You asked. You said that you don't want to have any sheker." And from here, you see that the world needs sheker, which means it's not so good to always to be honest. Guy comes and says, "I'm honest, honest Abe. Never tell a lie." Sometimes you should have to tell a lie. I mean, to keep the shalom, you don't say anything. The lady comes, "How do I look?" "You look beautiful." "Like, I'm honest." "You look ugly, and your mother's ugly, and your grandmother's ugly. You come from a generation of ugliness. What are you talking about? What do you have to say that for?" "I'm honest." "Don't be so honest." Sometimes you have to take honesty, and you have to throw it out the window. And he learned his lesson over there. Turns out the Ben Ish Chai says the whole thing was a dream. So when he woke up in the morning, the request was in the dream, and all those episodes were in the dream. And all of a sudden the lady came to give him that yadayim. He says, "Good morning, good to see your beautiful face." And then he went to his uncle, he said, "Arichut yamim b'shanim," and he went on the day. He didn't say anything. He said, "Yishtavach shivo," without sheker,
We would not be able to. He says sometimes you have to take the truth and you have to throw it away. So that's why the Bein Ish Chai learns the pasuk. The word to get rid of something is lirdof. Lirdof is to chase it out. So the pasuk is saying sometimes tzedek, being too honest. Tirdof, get rid of tzedek. Don't be such an honest guy. Why? Leman tichyeh, so you'll be able to live without having, without lying. You won't be able to live in the world. A guy who's too honest, all your employees will quit on you. Your uncle will leave you. Your parents will. So therefore, it's saying don't be such a stickler to the truth. Sometimes tzedek. That's such a dependency on honesty. Tirdof means. Get rid of it. Throw it away. So that's another interpretation of tzedek tzedek.
So a little bit of shek is a myth.
It's good.
No,
there's
nothing.
What do you think I'm saying? I'm preaching to lie.
No, not at all.
Don't say what I'm saying.
That's the better. Yes. If your wife asks you, how do I look? Instead of telling her you look ugly, lie to her. Tell her she looks pretty. That's what I'm saying. Not guys say walking around lying to people. I'm talking about over here. We call that Chabad of Yitzchor a white lie. White lie, in order to keep the peace. In order to keep the peace.
Those are trick questions.
You can't win it. Yeah, you can't win it. Yeah, I take the fifth. You can't win. No matter what you say, you can't win. No, because if you say you look pretty, yesterday I didn't. No, you can't win. You're right. Now you have to plead the Fifth Amendment. You're right. That's a setup. Okay, Rabotai. So what we say? Sedek Tadof. Tzedek Tadof. There's another interpretation of Tzedek Tadof. We have to calibrate it. Okay, where's the Chumash here? So the Pasuk says in this week's Parasha, this Pasuk is talking about over here, about the false prophets. No, not the Edim. The Pasuk is talking about over here going after Chover Chave Shoel Obi Deoni Doreshet Ametim Ki Tu'avat Adonai Kol Ose Ele Ubeglal Ketu'avot Ele Adonai Elecha Monit Shotam Bepanecha Tamim Tehye Im Adonai Elohecha. כי הגויים האלה, these גויים, פסוק י' ד', אשר אתה יורש אותם, אל מעוננים ואל קוסמים ישמעו. They speak to the מעוננים and the קוסמים, it's like the astrologers and things like that. They go after black magic, voodoo. ואתה לא כן נתן לך אדוני אלוהיך, but you're not that. נביא מקרבך מאחיך כמוני יקים לך אדוני אלוהיך אלא תשמעון. We go to the prophets. נביא מקרבך. The Mefashim explain the Goyim have a power. The Zohar HaKadosh writes that there's 70 nations, and each one of the nations has a malach that's in charge of that nation. The malach is aware of the goings-on of that nation. Malach knows, it has the portfolio, the dossier of that nation, what's going to happen. So these voodoo people, me'onenim, they know the time. Onah's time. So they're able somehow to tap into these pathways, and they're able to find out the future and what's going to be from what's the information that the Malachim, one of the 70 Malachim or Sarim, are holding. Of course, it's Asur, but that's what they do. So it could be they're accurate, could be they come up with good stuff, but it's coming from, they're using their bad pathways, as we said, Mu'anim and Kosimim, to do what they're doing. With you. However, our prophets
We get our information directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't come from these Sarim and these angels over here. Our information comes directly from the source. That's what the pasuk says. Ki agrim ha'el asher ata yoresh otam el me'onenim ve'el kosimim yishma'u. But the pasuk says ve'ata lochen. What does it mean ata lochen? You don't do that. What do you do? Natan lecha Hashem Elohecha. You go straight to God, to the Bore. But the pasuk explains lochen. The word chen is gematria how much? Chaf nun. 70. Pasuk is saying, "Ata lochen, you don't go to the 70 of the goyim like they do. Elawad, ata lochen, ata neka shem eloecha. You go straight to the Bore. You got direct. You don't need intermediaries." There's other interpretations as well. The Chachamim say that there's no mazal for the Jewish people, so we don't go after mazalot. The goyim, they're under what's called mazal. They're under the zodiac, the signs. They believe if they're born under a certain star, that's it. They're stuck under that star. It's true. That's the mazal that they're born in. So therefore, when they look in the stars, they're giving readings. And even if the goy comes and says, "I'm reading it in the stars," that's what it says. The pasuk is about talochen. This doesn't affect you. The reading that they're giving you is based on the fact that they think that you're locked in. It's not a fixed rate, not a mortgage. You're not locked into this rate over here. It could change. Batalochen. Borei Olam can change the mazal of a person. Like Tosafot says, either if he does a big zechut, or he gives tzedakah, or he does a tefillah, or something like that. It can change. Bediyuk, our mazal can change. En mazal Yisrael. And they say that you see that Klal Yisrael has the ability to change. Where do you see we can change? You go from something that's so bad, and all of a sudden you can turn it to good. We see in our religion you have that concept. What's the concept? Amazing concept. The concept says, we have time with the rest. The concept says like this. There's two types of teshuvah. There's teshuvah mi'irah and there's teshuvah me'ahaba. What's the two types of teshuvah? Teshuvah mi'irah means you make teshuvah from fear, which is okay. But teshuvah from fear only accomplishes half a thing. It gets rid of the sin. Teshuvah me'ahaba actually turns the sin into a mitzvah. Although I never really understood why we need that. Why do you need that extra, the flip? If all I'm concerned is to get rid of the avera, so I got rid of the avera, why do we need that extra bonus to turn the avera into a mitzvah? What purpose? Is, unless you tell me, no, that's a luxury. That's, by the way, that's a perk. It's an unnecessary perk. But Allah was very kind to you. He gave you this extra item to have a chance to flip it into a mitzvah. Although, it really is not an item. Teshuvah mirah is necessary. Because if you're not going to get rid of the sin, you're in trouble. So he gave you a way out. But the fact that you could flip it over is a bonus. That's why I understood it always.
A really, really bad guy.
Bidiyuk. But based on the Gaon Mevilna, we see that Teshuvah Me'ahaba is not a perk. Teshuvah Me'ahaba actually is mandatory, is needed. Otherwise there's trouble. Why? What did the Gaon Mevilna say? The Gaon Mevilna said in the Mishnah, Veda lefne mi ata atid liten din v'hashbon. He said, remember one day, you're going to have to stand in front of your Creator, and you're going to have to give what's called din v'hashbon. The Gaon Mevilna said, "What is it? Din, what is it? Hashbon? It sounds like it's the same thing." So he said as follows: When a person makes an avera, so they're going to judge him for the avera. That's deen. Hashbon means during those 25 minutes that you made the avera, you could have been doing a mitzvah at that time. So they make a hashbon on what you could have done. And by the way, it's not so unfair, by the way, because if you were a businessman and you had a business, and let's say you had a meeting with Walmart that day, and your number one salesman that meets with Walmart
didn't show up.
That day doesn't show up. That's the meeting day. That's your whole business is based on this meeting. He decided to take one of his 2 weeks, one of the days off he took off that day. You come to the next day, you tell the guy, where were you yesterday? He says, you're right. I should have taken off. Oh, you're right. It was above the 2 weeks. Dock me. Take $100 off my pay. $100 off your pay? That's the deen. That's the deen. For not coming in, you get my $100. But the hashbon now, if you were here, our business would have made $50 million yesterday. Now you have to pay for that also. Not only that you didn't come, what we lost. The potential. If you were here yesterday, it would have been a different item. That's hashbon. God says, okay, you spent 25 minutes wasting your time doing avirot. No problem. But do you know during that 25 minutes you could have had tremendous sakhar in Olam Abba? You could have had tremendous reward? So therefore the Pasuk says, Deen v'hashbon. Deen v'hashbon, Abotai. Deen, what you did. Hashbon, what you could have done. That's a bit. So therefore we explain, Abotai, we explain. Good. Now a person, he made teshuvah. Mi'ir'ah. Teshuvah mi'ir'ah gets rid of the sin. But you still have hashbon that you didn't solve. You understand? Which means now you need to make this Rav Abba. So God says, there's no punishment. We're not docking you for not coming to work today. We're not docking you. But what you could have done is still there. So therefore you need to have teshuvah mi'ahaba to turn that 25 minutes into positive. Which means the teshuvah mi'ahaba gets rid of the hashbon. No, the hashbon. Teshuvah mi'ir'ah gets rid of the deen. Teshuvah mi'ahaba gets rid of the hashbon.
Wow.
That's why the pasuk says, bo hashbon. Bo hashbon. Worry about the hashbon. The deen you can fix easy, but you have to make teshuvah mi'ahaba. With this, the Mefarshim explain, amazing hadush. It says in the pasuk, on Sukkot, ukahtem lachem bayom harishon. Ukahtem lachem bayom harishon is what? The lulav. You take the Sukkot. So the Gemara asks, bayom harishon? It's bayom hamisha asar. Sukkot is not bayom harishon. It's on the 15th. The pasuk is giving us the wrong date. Okay, but the Gemara says, sounds like it's the first day. It's not the first day. So the Gemara says, no, Rishon hu lehashbon avonot. It's the first now for the hashbon of avonot. What's a simple interpretation? Once already Rosh Hashanah starts, it's the new year, there's no time to make sins. Nobody's making sins on Rosh Hashanah. Then you have Asir Yimei Teshuvah. People are busy doing mitzvot. Then you have the 4 days in between, which we're running around putting up the lulav, sukkot, and all that stuff. There's no time to make avirot. The first time we sit down after Rosh Hashanah is when? Sukkot. So now be careful. Rishon HaRbon Avonot. Be careful. Now it starts. Now you have some time on your hands. Don't. Based on what we're saying now, the Mekubalim write, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is Teshuvah Mi'ir'ah. The days of awe, Yamim Noraim. Once the court comes, the man Simchatenu. Now we make teshuvah me'ahava. So now we call back all the averot that we did, and now we need to make teshuvah again. So it says Rishon hu lehashbon avonot. We're coming to settle the hashbon now. The deen already we did during Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Now Sukkot, Rishon lehashbon. Now go flip them. Now, exactly. Now forget the sale back. Now rewrite history that you were there, you made the sale. 100%. That's Rishon hu lehashbon avonot. Which means that you see, Klal Yisrael,
Klal Yisrael is able to turn averot into mitzvot. This concept we saw when we once explained. Aaron HaKohen, Alav HaShalom, worshipped the Egel. What worship? Was part of it. He was an accessory to the Egel. And God held him responsible. But we have no doubt that Aaron HaKohen obviously made Teshuvah. And that's why when he goes into the Mishkan the first time, God tells him, bring an Egel. The Egel is to mechafer on the Egel HaZahav. And Aaron HaKohen ends up becoming the Kohen Gadol to atone for the Averot of Klai Yisrael. And we once gave a long talk to show that Aaron not only made Teshuvah for the Egel Mir'ah, but he also made Teshuvah Me'ahava, and on the contrary, the Egel eventually becomes to Aaron, it turns into a mitzvah. We brought the ayot to this. Aaron now is about to go light the menorah for the first time. So the pasuk writes that when Aaron went to light the menorah, when he came to light the menorah, the pasuk says, "Rabotai, follow." When it comes to light the menorah, the pasuk says, "Vayas ken Aaron." What does it mean? He did so. So that she comes along and says, "Dagid shabachos shel Aaron," to come along and give the praise of Aaron. Shelosh hina, he didn't deviate. Everybody says, "But I thought he would deviate." God tells him to light the menorah. Of course he's going to do the menorah. Of course he's not going to dig. What is it? Shelosh hina. The explanation is that the greatness, they say, of Aaron HaKohen was that he had a tremendous kavanah when he lighting the menorah. Before the menorah is lit, there's darkness. You light the menorah now, you turn darkness into light. The kavanah of Aaron was that when he lit the menorah, that all those Jews that made averot, the light of the menorah will turn the averot. It'll give them a zirkut to make teshuvah me'abat, to turn the averot into light. So the pasuk says, "Melamed vayas ken Aaron." He did ken. What does it mean ken? Look at the pasuk that says over here, "Kagoyim ha'ele asher ata yoresh otam." These goyim, El me'onenim ve'el kosimim yishma'o. They're under the mazal. However, you're not under mazal. You could switch. And what's the proof? Ve'ata lo ken. You could turn the law into ken. You could turn the avera into a mitzvah. Ve'ata lo ken. So if you could switch an avera to a mitzvah, you're not bound to any mazal. Ve'ata lo ken. And that's what it means. When Aaron lit the menorah, he switched the law. Lo shina. And what did he switch the law to? Ken. That's what the person said. Vayas ken Aaron. Vayas ken. What do you mean vayas ken? Melamed shelo shina. He switched the law. He made the law to ken. Which means he was able to mitaken the hataim of Klai said to the lighting of the menorah and his own chet of the egel as well. And where do we see this concept that in Mazal Yisrael, where do you see it? You see it in the Gemara. The Gemara is in Shabbat. Elliot, I know you thought I lost my way, but I didn't lose my way yet.
When you think.
Yes. Yes, that's one of the Gemarot over here.
You don't need to write all what Elliot said. No need.
You're right. The Gemara is in Shabbat. Kuf Nun Vav, by the way. That's the Gemara in Mazal Yisrael. In Mazal Yisrael. That's a Kuf Nun Vav in Shabbat. So the Gemara says over here, Damar Rabbi Yohanan, Minayin She'en Mazal Yisrael.
Oh, that's a good question. How do you know? How do you know there's no mazaliyah? How do you know that we're not bound? The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rabbi Menashe Bar Azariah says Shneimar, Vayotze Oto Ahutza. God tells Abraham, go outside. Amar Abraham Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Ben Beti Yoresh Oti. I have no children. Who's going to inherit me? Eliezer. That's all I have to inherit me. Amalo Lav. God says, no, it's not true what you're saying. Ki Masher Yitzim Me'echa. The one that's going to come out of your loins, he's going to inherit you. Amale Fanav. Avraham Avinu was an astrologer. Rebono Shalom Nistakalti B'Istagdinyut Sheli. I looked at the stars to show you this tipshim in the show. Want to hear a tipesh? There's an abed rapper. The guy makes zillions of dollars, but doesn't mean anything. He came along on the day of the eclipse, and he sends out a tweet to all his Havrat Kaddisha. He says, all these guys that say you can't look at the eclipse, shtuyot. They've been having eclipses for thousands of years. Nobody ever said, you can't look at it. Well, so now they can't look at it. It's a scam from the eye doctor and all that. He takes a video of himself looking at the eclipse. P.S. The guy tweets 2 hours later. All his concerts are now officially canceled. The guy went blind. He went blind. Burnt his retinas apart. The guy. For what? He didn't believe. Now he believes it. Now he believes it. Now he says, now you clear back. They're right. They were right. They were right. Oops. Anyway, it says over here. Anyway, why am I telling you that? Nistakati Bakstir Niudi, not looking at the eclipse. He said, I looked at my stars. Avram could see the stars. The stars clearly said Avram cannot have children. He saw it. Amale, God tells Avram, when the pasuk says, Vayotze Oto Ahutza, it wasn't telling him to go outside. He said, go leave your mazal. You're locked up into this mazal. You're not bound by it. Just because it says one thing doesn't mean you're bound by it. Go this way. You can go a different way. She'en mazal yisrael. There's no mazal. Then he tells us what God tells him. My kadatech. What are you thinking? You're such a good astrologer. Deka'et tzedek b'ma'arav. Oh, Avraham Abinu was born in the Mazal of Tzedek. That's the name of the Mazal. There's seven Mazalot. He was Tzedek. The problem is, Tzedek was in the Ma'arav. Rashi says, Shu makom mitzunan. The star of Avraham when he was born, Tzedek was already in the west at that time. And the west is where the sun sets. Therefore, that's the cold area. So anybody that's born when Tzedek is in the west, it's cold. Therefore the body, the Zera, needs to be hot in order to be fertile. Therefore you're not fertile because the Zera is cold. Because you were born, it's a fact, that's what happened. What's the problem, God says? I could take Tzedek and put it in the Mizrah. Yeah. I'll move Tzedek away. I could change it, God, I could change Tzedek. So Tzedek is over there, now what? By the Goyim, you can't change the furniture in the Shamaim. God, I can for you, I'll change it. V'haynu dichtiv, mi he'ir b'mizrach tzedek yikra'u l'raglo. It's unbelievable. That she says, b'mizrach, shehu makom hom. And then the Gemara goes along to say, all different stories over here, how they were able to change the mazal. And the Gemara tells stories in this whole page, Kuf Nun Vav. One of the stories was, this guy is called Ablat. Who was Ablat? Ablat was Shem Hacham Nukri Vaya Chozeh Bekochavim. So, one of the rabbis was walking by Ablat, and Ablat told him, no, that's it, I seen the stars, you're going to die. The stargazer. Yeah, that's it. He didn't ask for his thing, he told me, I see you, you're going to die. He's not smart, Ablat. Remember we were in Hong Kong, I was walking on the promenade over there with Sandra. There's also one of these ablab guys. He's wearing a hat and hadi like that. He comes to me. He says, "Wow, you're going to have 20 years of good luck and prosperity." Unbelievable. Great. He says, "Don't you give me something?" Of course I give you everything. I gave him $2. The guy's a scam artist. He goes to everybody. He gives you, reads you. But he's dressed like a guy, you know, who does the snake, the snakes. He's dressed in the whole thing over there. And he has old cars that say good things. He says, "Let me see. Ooh, wow. I never saw a thing like this." You get excited. You give the guy $5. You get scammed by the guy. Ablat was the opposite. Ablat gave you bad news. He told the guy, "You're going to die. You're going to die." So all of a sudden, the rabbi, he lives. Nothing happened to him. Abba says, "No, it can't be." In the start, it said, "You're going to die. What did you do?" He says, "Well, we went out for lunch. And in those days, how'd they go for lunch? Everybody would put their lunch in a basket. All the group. And then they would pass around the basket. And everybody would take. So you get a choice. You get a variety. You got those egg salad sandwich, a tuna fish, a peanut butter. Now you can get the variety. Instead of each guy suffering with his sandwich, he gets to taste other people's food. What happened? What happened was, they put all the food in. There wasn't enough. They were going around. The guy said, "Oh, this guy, there's not enough." He didn't take. He passed it over to the guy. The guy took it. "Oh, you gave tzedakah. That's what changed your luck. You gave tzedakah that day. You did a chesed." So therefore, what do you see over here? That the doing of a mitzvah can change a person. Now, what did Avraham Avinu do all day long? Chesed. Chesed Avraham. The Gemara says, "Bar Minan, if somebody doesn't have children, Hashuv Kamet. A person doesn't have children, it's as if he's dead. So now we go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk at the beginning of the Parasha is coming to say like this. Tzedek, tzedek. That's referring to the Mazal of Avraham Avinu. Would we say the Mazal's name was? Avraham was Tzedek. But Tzedek, tzedek was what? It was in the West. So what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Tirdof! God took Tzedek and he chased it. He chased it from the west, and where did he put it? To the east. And now what Avraham had children? Now he's alive. Without the children, he's considered like he's dead. Once God took Tzedek and Tzedek Tirdof, he told Tzedek, "Go the other way." So therefore you see, Ed Mazali says, how many interpretations altogether?
Seven.
Can I get the seven galaxies? Amen.